Jesus Christ. Good morning. I don't know if you've noticed, but we have turned a little on the planet. The equinox passed, do you remember, last week? Last Thursday, was it? And now, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's getting a little colder. We turned the heat on, and I trust that it will take its time, and soon we will be warm and toasty in this place of peace. Until then, huddle in together. We Christians, we know what we're doing when we gather together on chilly mornings like this. It is good to gather together. It is good to huddle in. We call it a holy huddle. We're huddling in, and we are pondering and considering this day the turning of the season from light to dark to light again. It is good for us to gather together. I invite you then to turn your heart and your mind, maybe even follow the turning of the planet, to turn your heart and your mind, your body, your very self, to your Creator, to God, and to open your hearts to one another as we gather together to worship today. There are words printed in our bulletin and on our screen, and we will share them together. We will share them responsibly. I'll go first. I'm the not bold, and you are the bold. We settle into this sanctuary entangled with the worries of the world and our community. Shoulders to relieve stress, as we open our hearts to one another and to you, O God, of love and light, may our worship enliven and focus us. Join together in singing our own. may be seated. I'm loving the microphone, sending love to the microphone. And I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer and praise. I invite you to settle into this space. And I invite you to turn your attention outward to the people who are seated around you. We just prayed, asking God to reveal God's self. And we know that when we gather together, God is present. And we catch glimpses of God's glory. We see glory on each face. I invite you to draw your attention to the presence of God within you and all around you. Sometimes you have to squint, and then you can see it. And sometimes the glory of the Lord is very clear. I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer, and I invite you, as you are able, to come to trust the people who are gathered here, bearers of the presence and power and the love of God. I invite you to come to trust that the people who are gathered here only wish you well. And that we are here because God has called us to this place. We are here to help share in one another's joys and to help carry one another's burdens. We are here to be the body of Christ for and with one another. So I invite you, as you feel led, as you feel comfortable, I invite you to share aloud your joys, your concerns, your hopes, your fears, your worries, your very selves, to the people seated around you and to God who is ever present. And you're the first one to leave.
I'm in prayer on my hand accident. She'd be laying in the wheelchair, didn't know what she was doing. I pinned my hand into the table, and it still hurts. I can't remember.
Thank you for sharing. Muriel has hurt her hand.
The bake sale was yesterday, and I sure want to thank everybody. First of all, we made just short of $2,000. We got a good place to rent to go people.
Okay.
And what's left is downstairs on the table. That makes us closer to our $2,000. So today when you go for coffee, if you want jams or jellies, there's a few jams and jellies and some relishes and baked goods left down there. I will be down there to sell them. I would like all the people that are here today who either helped with the bake sale by being here to sell, set up, or you baked to please stand up. Mary, stand up. Sale, they know that they're coming and getting a quality bake sale. And we don't sell it at 25 or 50 cents. Oh, and those of you who have got pickles down there, they're down there. If you're here, pick them up. Thank you.
Baked good equals love, I think. Lots of love.
Every time I get up to speak, my family kind of shudders. I'm not sure what I'm going to say. Last Sunday, I looked out at the parking lot, and it was about three-fourths full or a little better. And I commented on the worship experience and how great it is when there's more people here. The parking lot is absolutely full. I mean, they're finding places to park that I didn't even imagine they could do that. And to look around here, wow, what an experience. So anyway, thank you all for coming and keep coming.
Thanks. About the bake sale, we all want to thank Bev Merritt and Linda Morneville. The two of them just put together a wonderful sale and presented it well. And yeah, we baked, but you put it together. Thank you.
It's good to be back.
Deb's birthday, and she will be that golden age. That's the joy I have to share. The second thing I want to share is the concern. We are losing the nursery school in January. They are moving to Jefferson Square. So that is going to be a large chunk of change out of our church. That's $50,000. So, just think about that one, and please keep us in your prayers.
Change is inevitable. Growth is an option. So as we think about the nursery school leaving, we're gathering next week, Saturday morning at 9 o'clock to talk about our strategic plan and review it. That agenda probably will change as we address going forward as a result of the nursery school announcement. And we have several options. I, for one, are extremely optimistic about this change. And I ask that you join me in prayer as we consider all the alternatives we have as we go forward. And there are many.
I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer. There are words printed in our bulletin and on the screen. And as you feel led, as you feel comfortable, these are words that we can pray together. And we can pray together saying, God of the seasons, there is a time for everything. There is a time for dying and a time for rising. We need courage to enter into the transformation process. Give us courage. God of autumn, the trees are letting go of what has been. We too have our moments of surrender with all their insecurities. when we need to do so. God of peace, going south for another season. Your wisdom enables us to know what needs to be left behind and what needs to be carried into the future. We yearn for insight and vision, guidance, even when the way was not clear. Beloved, the presence of God is all around you, and on glorious and beautiful days like this, and in loving sanctuaries like this, we can feel it. And God also is delighted to dwell inside of you. You are a beloved child of God. God loves you. And in this confidence, we can live and move and have our being. And we can pray as Jesus taught us. We can pray together to our common parent, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Thank you. well, that we only wish one another good things. And it may be so, then, that we learn how to walk down the paths that lead to peace, love, compassion. May we practice. Will you pass the peace of Christ to those around you? Will you? Yes, you will.
And that's what
I'm not scared. I'm not under the blanket. I feel totally free. And I can see. We're talking about fear. Fear, like this blanket, is hot and heavy and hard to take off. But we can. Like this blanket, the dark is here for a while, and then it's light again. And the whole time that we were under the blanket, living in fear, God was with us. And not only God, but you all were with me too. I wasn't scared because I wasn't here by myself. If I had been in this room all by myself under the blanket, I would have been scared. But you were with me too, so I wasn't scared. We are not called to stay under the blanket. Sometimes, in the dark of night, I want to be under the blanket. I want to stay here because I feel protected. I feel safer, even if it's a blanket of fear. I feel protected. But God, under the blanket, over the top of the blanket, in and through, each of us pulls off our coats of fear. And we're not afraid. We live in the light. We're not afraid. We live together. We are open and honest about fear and how it works in our lives. And all of us have things that scare us. Even those adults out there. All of us have spent time under the blanket feeling scared. So we talk about it. We talk about what it feels like to live in fear. And then together, we work at living in the light. That's what we're going to talk about at church today. That's what we're talking about at kids' time. And maybe when you're at home, do you have blankets in your bedrooms? Maybe when you're at home and you're cozy, comfy underneath your blanket, you can remember that you are safe, you are loved, God is with you, your parents love you, and all those people out there, they love you too. We are in this together. Whether we're under the blanket, or in the church, or at our home, in the world, we are in this together. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Oh my gosh, I come up through the head twice today. Maybe she should be afraid. Don't be afraid. Have a wonderful day. Will you pray with me? Do you want to pray under the blanket? Okay. Thank you, God, for your love and your care, for your presence, for your courage and your strength that helps us feel safe and free, even in the dark night, even under the blanket. You love us and we know it. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Have fun. I think your teacher's back there, Suzanne. Don't you all want to wish you had a blanket? I know you do. It's cozy. Oops. Sorry.
The Old Testament this morning is from Isaiah 45. And God is talking to Cyrus, who was the person that freed the Jewish captives in Babylon. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him, and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor. Though you do not acknowledge me, I am the Lord, and there is no other apart from me. There is no God. I will strengthen you. Through you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men will know there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. You heavens above, rain down righteousness. Let the cloud shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness grow with it. I, the Lord, have created it. And from the New Testament this morning, the Gospel of John, and this is Jesus talking. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was not for this reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came down from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus told them, you're going to have the light just a little longer. Walk while you have the light before the darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that when you become such a light, when he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them.
It was wonderful.
conversation, a sermon to him. He's not here because they can't come to church on Sunday, but I'm sure that he's feeling it in his spirit, so that I'm going to be telling stories about him. But also I thought maybe you could take a minute and think about 30 seconds and think about your Uncle Bill or your Auntie Shirley or the people in your life who guided you, who taught you stuff, who spent time with you in formative ways. I'm thankful for the people in my life, and also thankful for the people in your lives, all the ones that have brought you to where you are today. I'm thankful because my Uncle Bill taught me a lot of stuff. He taught me about running a business. He taught me how to make change in my head. He taught me how to bale boats, mow the lawn. Taught me how to drive before I was allowed to drive. He taught me how to work hard, and he taught me to be fair. He taught me that it's okay to be myself. And he taught me how to dance the polka. He taught me some pretty big life lessons, and I could probably share them with you forever. But one life lesson, I don't think he even intended it, it was somewhat off the fly. We used to take guests for pontoon rides in the evening. And it would be 11 o'clock at night, and we would take the guests for the pontoon ride, and then I would help, you know, tie up the pontoon, and we would walk back up to the lodge together about midnight. We did this once a week for all summer long for many years. And I was kind of scared. We were out in the woods, and nobody else was around, just me and Uncle Bill. And I always had a flashlight. And I would use the flashlight to walk back to the lodge. And one night, Uncle Bill said, "Turn off your flashlight. In the dark, you'll see more in the dark. You'll grow accustomed to being in the dark, and then you'll see more." That was the point. It was a funny little lesson, but it's kind of true when you use a flashlight to find your way in the dark. Although I've preached some beautiful sermons about the power of a flashlight, but in the woods, when you need to have your awareness broadened, a flashlight can narrowly focus your attention and your vision. And if you turn off your flashlight or don't even have it, you grow accustomed to the dark and you can see rocks and you can see things ahead of you that were in far extent beyond the beam of a flashlight. Has any of you ever experienced that? It takes a little learning to learn that. And I've learned that lesson not just while I'm walking in the woods, but while I'm walking and talking throughout my days. I admire people, and I use Uncle Bill as a guide. And so I have his picture, and pictures of other people, my mom and my family and my sister, in the office. I have a picture of Gandhi in the office, maybe you've seen. I've drawn a lot of wisdom and support from some of the great spiritual giants of our time. And one of my favorite spiritual giants, Gandhi, Uncle Bill, Mother Teresa. So this is the transition that I wanted to make. To Mother Teresa, I was astonished to know pictures of Mother Teresa. Oh, you're doing it. That's me, Uncle Bill. Ah, Mother Teresa. Spiritual giant. Spent her life caring for the poor and the dying in India. And in public, leaders, even the Pope, claim that Mother Teresa found her strength in prayer and contemplation. that she drew strength directly from the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Privately, Mother Teresa experienced doubt and struggle her whole life. For 50 years, she, quote, felt no presence of God whatsoever in her heart. We know this because she wrote letters to a confessor, and the confessor saved her letters, kind of against her will, exactly against her will after she died. In one of her letters, she wrote, and I'm quoting from Mother Teresa, "Where is my faith? Even deep down, there is nothing but emptiness and darkness. If there be God, please forgive me. When I try to raise my thoughts to heaven, there is such convicting emptiness that these thoughts return like sharp knives and hurt my soul." She was a flashlight to the whole world. I was truly astonished to find, after her death, that she lived in such darkness. She, a canonized saint, experienced such lack. And I was surprised and somewhat encouraged, because Mother Teresa is not so different from any one of us. Not different at all. Except she persevered. I tell you, some days I would give up. I would just quit. Except that I have God constantly talking to me, encouraging me, inspiring me. Jesus and I go to the mat on a daily basis. Jesus and I, we fight. That's how I know he's my brother. We fight, but I never doubt the presence of God in my life. Ever. And Mother Teresa, she did what she did, served the poor, lived and died for Jesus, and the whole time, never feeling God's presence. But she believed anyway. I can scarce take it in. And in her doubt, in the dark night of her soul, which lasted for decades, Mother Teresa taught us, not only in her life of service, but in her life of doubt, she models for us a Christian faith that is real and authentic and good for something. Mother Teresa, of all of us, of all of the examples, of more, maybe I won't say it, more than Uncle Bill, but I said it, he's not here. More than all of us, live a life shaped by Jesus. And as the gospel writer John says for us today, sometimes after Jesus speaks, he hides. Jesus is not asking you to be shining, happy people all the time. What kind of week did you have? Oh, church, don't we need each other now more than ever? Jesus is certainly not telling us to always look on the sunny side, and certainly Jesus is not calling his disciples to be only light-skinned Scandinavians, although there is nothing wrong with being a blue-eyed, white Scandinavian. I have a lot of lovely white Scandinavians in my life. Jesus does not favor light over dark. Jesus is not talking about material at all. He is talking about enlightenment or awakening. drawing awareness to the journey of the soul. Enlightenment is not a metaphor for moving from light to dark. We know we have no choice over that. Life will move us from light to dark and dark to light and back again. Jesus is talking about moving from fear to love. And that journey can happen on a mountaintop or in a cave, in a desert monastery, under the covers of your bed, and in the dark corners of your heart. Some pretty horrible things happen in this life, in the dark of night and in broad daylight, at a party and in your own home. You know this. Life is not all sweetness and light, and you cannot pray that away. Life can be bitter and dark, and it can feel that way for a long time. And God is ruler of us all. God owns this earth. God is with us, in us, in light and in dark, in pain and sorrow, in night and in the day. God is here and there. All of this place is holy ground. Everywhere you look, when your eyes get accustomed to seeing, and you, in the dark, you grow strong. Not because you smile though your heart is breaking, or you muscle on because suffering is good for you. No. You grow strong. Because after being in the dark, you see more. You know more. We learn. We gain depth of experience, and the dark can't scare us anymore. We've been there before. And each of us suffers. Maybe this is the only thing that really binds us together. That all of us are marked by loss and pain. We grow strong, and we encourage one another. We share our stories. We share stories of joy and concern. These prayers of joys and concern during worship maybe is the most holy time of our experience together. Some of your journeys into pain I know because you have generously shared them with me. And I know that there are stories that I will never know and I cannot imagine. And I defy anyone to say that pain in and of itself is somehow redeeming or to be desired. It is simply a part of life. And life weaves its dark and light way through our lives. And all of us are marked by pain and loss. And I am so sorry about that. And I stand before you knowing that it's only going to get darker. I stand before you saying, winter is coming. So get used to the dark. And stay true to one another. Don't be afraid. Love one another. And I'm here. I will not maybe just me, but I want you to know that I am here. I will companion you. We will walk together if you want. And there are people here who will walk with you. And winter is coming. And after that, the spring. Do not be afraid. May it be so. open your heart to the way that God might be speaking to you. And I also encourage you to continue in our spiritual practices. We gather together, we sing and we pray, we listen to scripture, we ponder the scriptures, and we live lives of generosity and grace. All of these things we have to practice. So we practice them now. I invite you to give and receive, and give and receive, and give and receive.
So if you are planning on doing any baking and put something in the freezer, we'd appreciate it. You can pick up the containers on top of the freezer.
Hi. Maybe you read your newsletter very, very carefully, I'm sure. Sure, right? Took me an hour. The Chum is having a dinner on October 18th, and it's going to be kind of swanky. And So they would like people to sign up, and we're hoping to get a table of 10 people, and we're currently at like 3. So if you want to hang out with us, because we're so weird, let us know. There's going to be a cash
reward.
Karen's not as weird as you are.
Sorry.
She's not invited, is that right? Sorry.
You can get one half of the table, I'll be at the weird half. Anyway, so it's technically free, but they're hoping for donations, $50-$60. They're trying to raise $50,000 for the street outreach program. Deb only goes around and finds people that like, people can call and say, I think this person doesn't have anywhere to sleep tonight, and they will find them a place to sleep, get them a hotel, whatever it takes, and so they need money. Anyway, if you feel like getting dressed up and hanging out with weirdos, only a couple of weirdos. But the street outreach program is important for our community, especially as we go into the darkness and the cold. It starts at 5:30 with a silent auction, goes into dinner, and a program, a little bit of program. But it's on a Thursday night, the 18th of October.
And we can.
All you parents and teachers. And we can. But I do have a sign up. That I can put together. They actually wanted our numbers, but I owe today, but they told me that last week. So we're in. Let us know, either one of us. Thank you so much. God is inviting you to continue, to go forward, to sing. And I invite you to sing too. We join single, blessed friend. It's one of my favorite hymns.